Welcome in. Hockey Talk Show, live with you here on draft day. We have a complete show lined up and ready to go for you guys this evening. 6:20 p.m. in the East as our time to start the broadcast. Important to put that out there because things are evolving. Things are moving quickly here. There's a lot of trade chatter out there. And we're on top of all of it. For instance, we heard just before we started our broadcast, Lou Lamoriello, general manager for the New York Islanders, Paul Fenton, newly minted general manager of the Minnesota Wild, long conversation on the draft floor. Does it mean something? Does it not mean something? There's all sorts of conversations. Lots of conversations happen on the floor. They could be talking about a lot of things, but are they talking about Anders Lee? Are they talking about Jason Zucker? Are there moves on the table? We have the absolute last minute rumors for you on this episode. Plus, prices are getting awfully high in the National Hockey League. Kevin Hayes signing. What does that mean for Anders Lee? What does that mean for Mitch Marner and the rest of the free agents going into July 1? Lots to talk about there. Joe Thornton. Justin Williams, do they come back? Goalie situations. Carolina, not looking so great. New York Islanders, we'll see what happens. We have new ownership in Arizona to talk about, and we'll do a little bit of a draft preview. But like I said, this show is going to be dominated by trade rumors and a whole hell of a lot of trade rumors. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, say hello, thumbs up, share this on your Twitter or Facebook. We got lots to get to on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. All right, welcome in, everybody. Hopefully we sound pretty good. Give me a thumbs up if the sound is okay. I apologize for last episode's sound glitches. I think we have a bad piece of equipment. We have ordered a new one, so hopefully we'll get to that really, really soon. On the podcast, Facebook, and YouTube Live, appreciate you guys listening to the Hockey Talk Show wherever you're listening from. You know our home is HockeyTalkShow.com. And don't forget, you can now support the Hockey Talk Show for as low as 99 cents a month. There are links and info in the descriptions on Facebook, YouTube, and our podcasts. Wherever you listen from, Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, Google Podcasts, it doesn't matter. Consider clicking that link and supporting us with 99 cents a month. That is so small and really goes a long way. Rob, what's up? How you doing? Facebook, let's get a couple of hellos in the chat so I know you guys are there. Let's get off and running with some of the last couple of days' news. I found this little statistical analysis to be interesting. It comes from Eric Hornick, who is the go-to analytics guy for the MSG broadcasts. He compares Kevin Hayes' signing with Anders Lee and what he can potentially get here, as the Islanders are in, they're close to losing their captain for 2 years in a row. I mean, this will be 2 years in a row they're going to lose their captain. We don't know what's happening yet. Lou Lamoriello was asked about Anders Lee. I'll get to that in a second, but let's focus in here, because not only does this, you know, affect Anders Lee and the New York Islanders, but Mitch Marner in a massive way and the Toronto Maple Leafs and everybody who's interested in Mitch Marner, this is going to affect. And this is going to affect every single free agent, Matt Duchene and the Columbus Blue Jackets and everybody who's about to be a UFA or an RFA. When you take a look at what Kevin Hayes got career-wise, 381 games, 92 goals, 137 assists, 229 points, plus 28. Kevin Hayes is a good player, but is he a $7 million a year player? A lot of people are shouting overpaid. We've talked about what it takes to get free agents on this show. I gave you my insight and experience for working for the New York Islanders a number of years ago, and general managers talking about what it takes to really get a player under contract. You always, almost always have to overpay. And the Flyers overpaid for Kevin Hayes. And we talked about how, why would somebody sign a contract in June, especially a couple of days before they're about to be a free agent? Because they're getting overpaid. They're getting a deal that they're not going to be able to get on the free market. And that's what Kevin Hayes got, and all the power to him. It's a good deal from his standpoint. From a Philadelphia Flyers standpoint, that I'm not so sure about. But when you take a look at the statistics here, I mean, Anders Lee almost has him beat 2-1 in goals. Now, it's not exactly 2-1. And Anders Lee has a couple more games under his belt, around 40 or so. But he's got 60-some-odd more goals. Actually, yeah, 60 goals. 60 more goals than Kevin Hayes. So Anders Lee is going to command, at minimum, $7.5 million. Now, for all the Islander fans that are out there that are like, oh, we got to sign Anders Lee. We can't let a captain leave 2 years in a row. We got to sign Anders Lee. Are you prepared to sign Anders Lee for $8.5 million? Because I think he's a phenomenal player. I really do. And I love him at 6.5. I love him at 7. These were figures that were realistic a couple of days ago. Now, I'm not so sure. After Erik Karlsson signing, after Kevin Hayes' signing, prices have gone up in the National Hockey League. Way up. And we don't even know where the salary cap is going to fall. I mean, we still don't know. So, again, I know I said this like a month and a half ago. I know I was one of the first hockey brains to say this. I stand by it to this day. You've got to get used to the idea of Anders Lee leaving the New York Islanders. He might be pricing himself out. Paul Fenton might be willing to pay him $8.5 million, might be willing to pay him $9 million. I don't know if that's a smart move for the New York Islanders. I just don't. And I don't know if Lou Lamoriello wants to hamper himself with an 8-year, $8.5 million deal on Anders Lee. Could pay off. I like Anders Lee. If he gets that money, I'm not going to be sour about it. If he signed tomorrow for 8.5 over 8 years, I would say good move on the part of the New York Islanders. But again, especially with players like Anders Lee, who are gritty as hell, who go to the front of the net, who battle in the corner, those guys tend to break down, and you're going to be paying for that contract in the last 2 to 3 years. You know, as his body breaks down, you hope it doesn't, but you're going to be paying for it in the end. Tough scenario for the New York Islanders as they try and keep their captain under contract. They also have Robin Lehner under contract. We'll get to that in just a moment here. This comes from J.D. Bunkus, who is a radio personality up in Toronto, who commented on Mitch Marner's status just a couple of days ago. Again, Marner is the crown jewel in the free agent world, UFA or RFA. So we keep our eye on Mitch Marner and what's going to happen with him. This is what J.D. Bunkus said. The Marner stuff is wild. Local kid poised to play on his boyhood team in their most competitive cycle since the salary cap was put in place, is seemingly willing to risk being traded over the slight of being asked to take less than Austin Matthews and John Tavares. I'm all for people getting paid what they're worth, but did he not watch the Raptors parade and think of what it would be like for the Leafs? Dudes losing fan support and waiting on an offer sheet most fans now want to come, but most rational people know won't. So some interesting comments there from J.D. Bunkus on the whole Marner situation. And it just kind of goes to show what the mentality is of the Toronto media. They're psychopaths up there. I thought the New York media got a little nuts over the New York Yankees. There is nothing that compares to the Toronto media and the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're psychopaths. They're mad at Mitch Marner because he won't sign a deal, because he won't come to the table and just agree with whatever the Toronto Maple Leafs are signing him. But you know what? When you look at this from an unbiased outside position, Mitch Marner's got every right to ask for every single thing he's worth. And if I was Mitch Marner putting up 90 points a year, I'd be pissed off too that I am automatically assumed to be behind Austin Matthews and John Tavares in this scenario. I think Mitch Marner's got a little chip on his shoulder. I think Mitch Marner's father's got a huge chip on his shoulder. And I don't think that Mitch Marner and his family and his agents are going to make this easy for the Toronto Maple Leafs, nor should they. Nor does any free agent really ever make it easy on their franchise and their franchise's general manager. So this idea too that an offer sheet is not going to come, I wouldn't be so sure about that. Although it's not a crazy notion, because we did talk about that on a previous episode of the Hockey Talk Show. You're talking about if he gets upwards of what he deserves, which, judging by what Kevin Hayes got, Mitch Marner is easily an $11 million a year player nowadays. And it's so crazy to think that less than 9 months ago, we were talking about Mitch Marner getting signed for $9 million. And in just a short amount of time, he has gone from $9 million to $11.5 million. It's insane. But if he's up on that $11.5 million mark, a team is going to have to give up 4 first-round draft picks for him. And that could be tough. That could be really, really tough. We are an hour and a half away from the 2019 NHL draft in Vancouver. I will give you my quick preview on what I think. I don't have a ton of thoughts on the Vancouver draft. I think there's going to be more sort of fireworks here with trades and trade rumors. But I do have a couple of quick thoughts, and let's do that right now. Obviously, the Devils are going to go for Quinn Hughes. He'll be the guy there. Or Jack Hughes. Did I say Quinn, his brother? Whatever. Devils are going to take the Hughes kid for sure. Kako. They're going to go with the New York Rangers. That's done. Kako's going there. No doubt about it. The Chicago pick is interesting to me. Now, I read just a little while ago that Stan Bowman is settled. He knows what he's going to do at number 3. What's interesting here, I think Bowen Byram, who is the best defenseman in the draft, should probably go 3rd. I would take Bowen Byram. I would always take the best player. Anytime you see a general manager discuss things, they'll always say the smart move is to take the best player. If all things are equal between two players, you go for position. But for the most part, you take the best player. And we know that the defense of the Chicago Blackhawks is going to have to get figured out over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. And it takes 4 to 5 years to develop some of these young defensemen, especially the, you know, early draft selections. Like, look at Victor Hedman. Took a really long time for him to settle in, but he got there. Bowen Byram is going to be the same exact thing. Guy's a stud defenseman. He could fall, though. Alex Turcotte is interesting because he is from Chicago. And I wonder, this is my first little, if you don't know anything about the draft, my first little, let's look out for this. The first interesting moment is going to be, what do the Chicago Blackhawks do at number 3? Do they take Alex Turcotte, go for the hometown kid? It's not a bad move. Or do they go for what I think is the clear-cut number 3 choice in Bowen Byram? To me, this is almost that Duchesne, Tavares, Hedman draft all over again. Hughes and Kako, they're going to be just fine. And then you got this 3rd thing. And, you know, remember that year, people were like, whoa, maybe Hedman might go to the Islanders now at number 1 and all this stuff. And it never happened. That draft was selected in the right proper order. And it was all done in the right manner, because Tampa knew that what they were going to get with Hedman, and they knew they had the 3, 4, 5 years to let him develop and become the dominant defenseman that he is today. And I see the Chicago Blackhawks being in that similar situation. They have the time. They have the patience. They can let him develop, and it won't be much of an issue for them. So to me, the first little interesting note is Bowen Byram, Alex Turcotte, who goes number 3 for the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, we could be looking at scenarios here where Bowen Byram falls to the Kings at number 5, which, I mean, could you imagine in 4 years, this kid next to Drew Doughty? That's a hell of a defense. I mean, if you're a Kings fan, you got to be excited about that. One of the kids I really love is Cole Caulfield. Kid had 172 points in 64 games. An electric offensive presence. Cole Caulfield, I like a whole bunch. Again, Hughes, Kako, no doubt about it, 1 or 2. But you're talking about the first 6 or 7 prospects in this draft being really good. Really, really good. And I know you got juniors and you got all these different leagues and nothing is the NHL, but I'm sorry, 172 points, 72 goals in 64 games. That's damn impressive. That's impressive. So I like Cole Caulfield a whole hell of a lot. And I think seeing where he falls in that one through six, actually, I should say in that 3-7 range is going to be super interesting. Now at number 8, you have the Edmonton Oilers. This is the 10th time in 11 years the Edmonton Oilers are picking in the top 10. That's disgusting. You talk about a dysfunctional, awful franchise. That is exactly what the Edmonton Oilers have been for the last 10 years. 10th time in 11 years, they're picking in the top 10. Disgusting. Things turn around for you guys this year, though, Edmonton Oilers fans. You got Kenny Holland back in the mix. The guy is known for late round picks. Yeah, the general manager doesn't make the 6th round picks for the most part. That is your, you know, head scout. But he's the guy who hires the head scout. So have a lot of faith. Your turnaround is here. You guys are ready to go. Enjoy it while you can, damn it. And finally, Edmonton is not the last loser franchise I want to discuss with you guys today. I do want to talk about the Vancouver Canucks, who redefine losers. I mean, after all, the draft is in Vancouver. And let's take a look at how terrible, terrible the Vancouver Canucks drafts have been. Not the players that they picked, but their luck going into the draft. In 2016, the Canucks dropped from 3 to 5. In 2017, they fell from number 2 to 5. In 2018, they dropped from 6 to 7, and this year they dropped from 9 to 10. In the last 4 drafts, in the draft lottery, the Vancouver Canucks have lost positioning. If there is any franchise that wants to nix the NHL draft lottery, it is the Vancouver Canucks. They have consistently been big, fat losers since 2016. Falling from 6 to 7 hurts last year, 9 to 10 this year hurts, but going from 2 to 5 really hurts. So is going from 3 to 5 as well. But they got Elias Pettersson, so not that bad. What is the important skill level of the player or the leadership? He is worth the price of leadership, but not the skill level. Rob, you lost me there. You wrote that a while ago, and I've moved way past that, whatever the hell we were talking about a couple minutes ago. So I'm sorry, man. Ask the question again. I will definitely get to it. So yeah, as we started the show, Lou Lamoriello and Paul Fenton having a long discussion on the floor. NHL awards were great, by the way. I got to say, there were a lot of lovely moments. By far, Carey Price and the kid, that was a beautiful moment. The NHL has done a wonderful job of orchestrating these just lovely, lovely occurrences. I thought Kenan Thompson was a phenomenal host. He was hysterical. The old Mighty Ducks bits, his favorite players are the black players bits. He came right out. I think his first joke was, "I'm not a Subban." I mean, just hilarious. Just hilarious. All around, did the Charles Barkley thing. Really, really good. I did like the minor league reporter bits. I love those a lot. The part where the minor league reporter referred to Sidney Crosby's lips as delicious or something like that. I mean, just hysterical. All right. Now we know. This is going to be the Lou Lamoriello tracker this episode. Now we know that Lou Lamoriello and Joe Sakic have been in conversation for quite some time. So this is kind of the fun part about the draft, because right now, and for the last hour and a half, 2 hours or so, all the general managers have been on the floor. They do have to report to the floor well before the 8 o'clock start. So there's nowhere else for you to have discussions other than in front of everybody who's allowed in the arena, and who's allowed in the arena before 8 o'clock, but the media. So you got all the media people just chiming in with, oh, this one's talking to that one, and that one's talking to this one, and you know, all this sorts of crazy stuff. So we're starting to get these things trickling in. Lou now talking to Joe Sakic of the Colorado Avalanche, talking to Paul Fenton earlier. Joey asking Letty for Zucker, could be. I brought up the NHL awards because I did want to mention Jason Zucker, who got an award, was there representing the Minnesota Wild, which was super tough considering that they tried to trade him twice now in the last 6 months. Super tough if you're Jason Zucker. That is not easy to do. showing up to work every day knowing that your team wants to trade you. And then you go to something like the NHL Awards where you're accepting an award. You've done something worthy of an award, and you're representing a team that can't wait to get rid of you. That's really tough. That is really tough. So kudos to Jason Zucker for just being a true professional and representing his franchise and himself and his family, because that's not an easy thing to do. A lot of people can't do that. I have a difficulty doing that myself in my own personal life. So good for Jason Zucker there. Joey asks, Letty for Zucker. Maybe. Could also be a discussion with Anders Lee. Who knows? Maybe there is a little bit of a swap as far as, you know, we'll give you his rights. If the discussions between Anders Lee and Lou aren't going well, maybe they swap rights so that Paul Fenton can get an extra year for Anders Lee. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Is that likely? No, I would say it's not likely, but I would say it's definitely possible. If Lou's looking at this and he's going, you know what, this isn't going to go anywhere. Nothing is going to change in the next 3 days. We're so far apart. I can't make these commitments to Anders Lee. He might swap him out for a fourth or fifth round pick. I mean, it's just rights at this point. That could be possible. And that could be super important for Minnesota, who can get an extra year out of it. We'll see what happens. A Lunator, I will not show the draft today. You know, I was thinking about doing the show during the draft. That might be a possibility tomorrow morning. We might do maybe rounds 2 through 7. I can't guarantee that. But I like actually doing these things before. Kind of gets us ready for it, gets us poised for it. And then we'll have a reaction to it. We'll see, you know, after the draft, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about what happened. I think it's a little bit more fun that way, because then we could all just sit back and just watch the draft ourselves. You know, I think it's a little bit easier that way. Who do you think the Wings will draft at number 6, and do you think they will make any trades? I don't think the Wings make any trades because they are right on that cusp of getting somebody who's pretty good. You know what I mean? 8, 9, 10, 11. Now you're talking, I mean, the Flyers have already offered up their 11th pick. What was the other thing I heard? Buffalo is picking at 31. That's their second pick in the draft because they have the 7th pick. They're offering that up. The sort of the mood of this draft is a guy you can get at 8, you might be able to get at 14. So I could see a lot of movement, guys trying to pick up second round picks. This is where general managers are going to do a lot of teasing and poising and, you know, go over to other guys and go, look, I like the guy that I could probably get in your spot at 14. But my scout kind of likes this other guy. What do you want to, you know, if I can get something, and he does like this guy in the third too. So if I could pick up your third, they'll do a lot of that garbage. There's a lot of that sort of poison and, you know, trash talking kind of going on. So we'll see what happens there. But I think, as I said, you know, just a couple of moments ago, you got Cole Caulfield, you got Bowen Byram, you got a couple of prospects where, because Chicago is such a wild card, you can start to see some big players slip. And as we've seen in drafts, especially the last 2 years, Zadina was one of them, where one team, I think it was it Kotkaniemi that Montreal picked? And that kind of threw things for a whirl. And the next thing you know, a guy that could go 3 slips down to you at 7. That's possible in these early rounds, and I think it all hinges on what Chicago does. Do they go with Turcotte, who's the local Chicago kid, or do they go with Byram, who is the stud defenseman, the Victor Hedman-like defenseman, basically on availability, not on, you know, he's not exactly like Victor. But kind of the way Hedman was at 3 in that 09 draft is where Byram is here in this draft. You know, does he then start to slip? And if Chicago doesn't take him, because Colorado took Mikhail Makar, do they then go for one of the more offensive players? You know what I mean? And then he slips even further. And then where's LA thinking? Are they in love with somebody? Or do they, you know what I'm saying? So you can have a situation where this kid can slip. He can really, really slip. Or whoever, because Chicago doesn't take him at 3, Colorado doesn't care about Mikhail Makar, takes the best player at 4, and whatever was going, whoever was going to go it for, now LA has to make a decision. So I really, honestly, there's no, outside of one and two, we don't know what's going to happen in that 3-7 range. Really, Buffalo is the last team. And then from Edmonton on at 8, like I said, it's a wild card. You can get a guy at 8 that you could probably get at 14. You'll get a guy at 10 that you could probably get with the 20th pick. So again, you could see a lot of players start to trade backwards. So I don't have a definite answer for you, Domsky, sorry. But I hopefully that kind of helps you out a little bit, just so you know where sort of the mindset is behind some of these general managers. And I also think that Steve Yzerman is a very calm and relaxed general manager. So he's not going into Detroit going, I got to make a splash. Whereas Paul Fenton with Minnesota is in a different scenario. Chuck Fletcher in Philadelphia, different scenario, right? These guys are trying to make impressions with their fan bases right away. They're trying to make moves. They want to be aggressive. Steve Yzerman, he's not there. I don't think he's there yet. So my feeling on if they trade, I think they stay pat at 6. Who they get, we'll have to wait and see. Isn't that exciting, though? This is the friggin' best part about being a hockey fan. Draft day is like opening day in baseball, where everybody's tied for first, and there's so much optimism. I mean, that's essentially what you have at draft day here. Who are we going to get? Who's going to be that next piece that we obsess over and see if our team can develop him and bring him up, you know? So I'll be really excited to see who goes there. Let's go and circle back around to some of the other rumors and things to discuss, some of the other topics that we got to cover here, and then we'll hop back to some trade rumors for the draft this evening. And then we have a list of trade bait players out there. And again, a key is going to be for me the players that are a year out from free agency, because I think that market is heating up and we got a big name that could be on the move as early as tonight. And again, the other interesting part about all this is what makes this so exciting, what puts this under like a little bit of a hot stove, is you have a deadline. You have an asset that you could use that's valuable tonight and is worth nothing tomorrow. Your first round draft pick, your ability to put a selection in somebody else's head scout's hands and let them do something with that. That runs out starting at 8 o'clock tonight, you know? So if you're looking at a player that has a year left on a deal, you can offer something today that you can't offer tomorrow. And that puts pressure on these deals and kind of forces something to happen. Now, in the last couple of years, we haven't had much movement. And it looks like we're kind of headed for that scenario right now, because I thought there would have been a little bit more of a trade so far this afternoon. I thought somebody would have pulled the trigger this afternoon. I thought this draft, because of the UFA and RFA situations that are going on, I thought we would have saw something late yesterday, early today. We didn't. So could this be another completely quiet draft? It could be. I still have a feeling it won't be. Even if we just get some minor swaps of players moving, of teams moving back to get their player at a later selection. But I think that I would have thought we would have seen something already, and we haven't. So just keep that in mind. Let's talk about Joe Thornton. He has confirmed that he wants to play in the NHL for at least one more season. He said this on Tuesday. He was a finalist for the Masterton Trophy for perseverance. He said that he can play at least this season and next. Where have we heard that before? In his partner that went over to Toronto and now is looking to leave Toronto and go back to the West Coast, right? Now Joe Thornton is starting to have those conversations of, yeah, I can go this year and beyond. So he's going to sit down and he's going to talk with the San Jose Shark brass, but his desire to stay is definite. Whose desire is not to stay, it's not definite, is, let me see, where's my guy? Did I lose my Justin Williams post? There he is, Justin Williams. Justin Williams said that he hasn't made a decision yet and he doesn't see one coming in the near future. So Carolina, for as great as you guys felt, things have really turned in a really, really bad way. I mean, in a really bad way. Now your captain, Mr. Game 7, the guy who really sort of carried you through the playoffs. He's one of my favorite players of all time. Killed my team in the playoffs. I almost didn't mind watching it because I love and respect Justin Williams so much. Is talking about, I don't know if I'm going to be back, and I don't know if I'm going to make a decision anytime soon. This could turn into another scenario where Justin Williams misses the beginning of the season and comes back mid-season or before the trade deadline, a la, what's his name? Carrie Underwood's husband, Mike Fisher. Similar thing to what Mike Fisher did, which is sit out the whole first part of the year and then come back just before the trade deadline, which you have to do if you want to play in the playoffs in the National Hockey League. That's why that happens. So not great news for the Carolina Hurricanes. We're on a wait and see with them. And then the other part of the bad news is these two guys on our screen right now, Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney, they don't think they're going to bring back either one of them. Man, this is not good. When your general manager comes out and says, hey, you know our two goaltenders that literally were responsible for bringing us into the second round of the playoffs, sweeping the New York Islanders and going into the third round of the playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals? Yeah. We're not going to be able to afford either one of them. Don Waddell said earlier this week, we're trying to sign them, but it doesn't look like we're going to get either signed. So if not, we'll go to the market and we'll see what's out there for July 1. I mean, if you're a Carolina Hurricanes fan, that is not what you want to hear whatsoever. Not what you want to hear whatsoever. Because, I mean, essentially you're saying, I don't have $5, $6 million to pay you, Peter Mrazek. And these guys were huge in getting you there. Huge. Rob with a great point. Mrazek to the Jackets? Yup. They're certainly going to be kicking his tires. What about the Edmonton Oilers? They're desperate for some goaltending. This is the best news for everybody who is not a Carolina Hurricanes fan. Because if you're struggling with your goaltending, or if you're losing Sergei Bobrovsky, this is the best thing you've ever heard. Hell, any one of these teams could sign both. I'm the Columbus Blue Jackets. I call up Peter Mrazek, and I conference in three-way style, old school office, Curtis McElhinney. What could I do to get both of you guys here? I want to bring this magical tandem to Columbus. Now, if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, you're excited. Because you're not going to pay Peter Mrazek what you would have had to shell out to keep Sergei Bobrovsky. And you're going to get goaltending pretty much as good, almost better in some cases. Bobrovsky is by far the more consistent goaltender. I know Bobrovsky's going to have a good year this year. Mrazek is a little bit more of a question mark. But maybe he's settled in. Maybe this is what he needed this season. So, great news for the Edmonton Oilers fans out there. Not so much for the Carolina Hurricane fans. This is horrible news for them. Horrible news. San Jose Sharks say they are hopeful in re-signing Joe Thornton and Joe Pavelski. I just don't see it. I don't see Pavelski taking less to stay there. Maybe he does. Maybe he feels like, hey, I'm just a couple of years away. He is 34. It is possible. But I think Pavelski's value is shooting through the roof. Because once you get past Panarin and Duchesne, and especially a lot of teams are going to be looking for great scoring, they're not going to mind paying high prices, and they're going to be looking for somebody they don't have to lock in for 7 years. And Joe Pavelski is a number one on that list. A number one. Let's keep it on the goaltenders here. It's the complete opposite for the New York Islanders. Robin Leonard said the other day before the NHL Awards, I want to stay in New York. This is where I want to be. Now, Lou Lamoriello did an interview the other day. They asked him where he was at with his free agents. He kind of gave you the Lou Lamoriello answer, which was practically nothing. I just looking at him in his eyes, just thinking about this, I don't know if he was that hopeful for Anders Lee. But the sense I got with Robin Leonard was he wants to sign him. He wants to bring him back, but it has to be manageable. And I think Lou is being the hockey genius that Lou is. When you think about this, you got Ilya Sorokin coming down the pipe. If you lose Anders Lee, if you fail to land a huge free agent, if you don't add that top six scoring that you need, if you don't turn around your power play, which you desperately need to do, You're really going to need some solid goaltending. You have Sorokin coming down the pipe, though, and you have, to be fair, because I was very touched by what Robin Leonard said. I thought what he went through and everything else, his perseverance was phenomenal. But let's be honest with each other. This is mental illness and everything else aside, talking about pure playing ability, he had a spectacular year. But again, it's one. Now, he's been great in the past. Hopefully all those demons and things are behind him. But it's hard to sign a guy like that to long-term big money. So I feel like I know what Lou's thinking. Lou's thinking, I'll give him something. I'll keep him here for another 2 to 3 years. Maybe we can sign a 1 or 2 year deal. What Lou is thinking is, I got to sign this guy. I want to keep him, but he's got to be at a friendly number so that I can trade him, should I have to, a couple of years down the road or next year. And that being not only because of what Robin Leonard can do, but also if Sorokin is here and he's lighting things up and he's on an entry-level deal, now you have a huge trade chip in Robin Leonard while your future settles into the National Hockey League. So that's what Lou is thinking. Lou's not thinking, I want to sign this guy to the long-term money he deserves. He's thinking, I got to get this guy into a contract that I have some maneuverability in year 2, 3, or 4. And I think that's smart on Lou Lamoriello's part. Joe Pavelski's agent, Dan Plante, met with Sharks GM Doug Wilson today, according to Pierre LeBrun. His impression, Pierre's, is that things are status quo. Term part of the issue, still time for both sides to find a solution, but the UFA speaking period starts on Sunday. Pavelski, Anders Lee, right? All these guys, that Sunday speaking part, that's really going to start to weigh heavy on some of these guys. Might make some of these GMs pull a trigger on a deal tonight if they have something that they like, you know? Matt, Haynes, Eddie, Rob, Def Malden, everybody in the YouTube chat, how you guys doing? Good to see you guys over there. A lot of conversation going on YouTube. Make sure you guys put the thumbs up on this video. Make sure you guys hit the like button and make sure you guys are sharing on Twitter or Facebook. Just throw it out there. Be like, the Hockey Talk Show is an awesome show. Check it out, guys. Also, we have our new 99 cents a month support. If you got 99 cents a month to throw around, and who doesn't, click that link in the description and hook it up. It definitely helps us, even just 99 cents a month. You can go for $4.99. We'll even take $9.99 a month if you got it. But 99 cents a month, that for sure is going to be good. We got plenty more to talk about. And let's keep it here in Carolina for a second. The other thing I think we're going to see a lot of movement on are these potential free agents, these guys with 1 year left. Supposedly, Justin Falk met with the Carolina Hurricanes and Don Waddell, and that did not go well. So his name is out there. And I think he is the prized possession, as far as defensemen go, on free agents that have 1 year left on their deal. And a guy like that, you can really see maybe move tonight. I think Justin Falk is in play, and I think he's going to garner a lot of attention at the draft tables tonight, because that is a great chip to play. And who knows what return Don Waddell can get, because clearly the Carolina Hurricanes, under their ownership, they're going young and they're going inexpensive. So we'll see what happens. As far as ridiculous trade rumors go, I just heard PK Subban to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Give me a friggin' break. Don't make me laugh. Come on, guys. PK Subban to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I can't respect subpar trade rumors. And that one sucks. That one legitimately just sucks. PK Subban. They can't get Mitch Marner signed. They're going to go out and acquire a $9 million defenseman. I mean, who the hell is coming up with this garbage and then running with it? This is a legitimate report right now in Toronto. That's how insane they are. We can't get Marner for $11 million. We have to sign the biggest restricted free agent available out there, who's got a chip on his shoulder, whose dad's pissed because he gets, you know, thrown in the back of the Tavares, Austin Matthews wagon all the time. But we're going to go out and get PK Subban for $9 million. You've got to be kidding me. the interesting part about the PK Subban deal, and I am pretty surprised about this because I'm such a huge PK Subban fan. I like his style. I like his flair. I know general managers don't like guys who talk a lot, you know, but I think he's spectacular. He's generous. He's a good player. Did he have an off year this year? Yeah, he did. Is the Nashville Predators, are they looking at a little bit of a salary cap crunch? Yeah, maybe. But I can see them moving away from PK Subban. And the reason why is because Ryan Ellis, Roman Josi, Matthias Ekholm, you know, I mean, they have like spectacular defense. They really, really do. They don't need PK Subban. They could get rid of that $9 million. I feel like PK was the move because you had to trade your franchise captain and Shea Weber, and who are you going to get back that's comparable? But as we've seen from the Nashville Predators, it's always a little bit of an offensive struggle for them. And the other part about that is some of the guys that were supposed to be filling in some of those offensive needs, a little bit inconsistent over the course of time. You know, some of those guys outside of Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson. So this flirtation and this idea of Matt Duchene, which has been a constant with the Nashville Predators, maybe they get that done. Maybe they finally bring in Duchene. And if they do, moving PK's $9 million is the easy move. That's the quickest way that you could legitimately get rid of, or I should say get rid of. That's the quickest way you could legitimately free up the money you need to go out and sign Matt Duchene. The other interesting note, and this is kind of crazy because when you look at some of the players who have no trade clauses, it's ridiculous. PK doesn't have a thing. He makes $9 million a year. And according to Cap Friendly, there is no move clauses on his contract. So he can go anywhere. And there's plenty of people that are going to pay for PK Subban and pay handsomely. Really handsomely. I mean, it's not crazy that the Maple Leafs would be interested in him. He definitely would help. But, I mean, you just can't. I don't even want to say it. I feel like we're all thinking it, but I don't even want to say it. I will whisper it. Marner for PK. Marner for PK? I can't even. I can't see that. I just can't see that happening. I legitimately can't see that happening. I mean, you can't sign Matt Duchene if that happens. You wouldn't turn down Mitch Marner if you're the Nashville Predators. You would really ease your issues of calming everybody down because you got all the offense you really need. You can sign some of your other guys like Johansson and... the other guy there in Toronto that nobody's respecting that they're just going to let walk. That's pretty talented. And you're getting the need that you need. You're getting a really good defenseman who's got some offensive upside, who's going to help your power play, give you an option outside of 44, you know. You can keep Nazem Kadri. Kasperi Kapanen was what I was thinking of. It's kind of crazy talk. I don't even want to talk about it. I really don't. But now that I'm like, do you see me kind of working it out in my head? Like, wait a second. It could make sense. It's just going to be, you know who I don't want to be is Kyle Dubas. Because he backed himself into a corner and he's getting into a scenario where he may have to trade Mitch Marner. I mean, it's kind of nuts. The thing is that would not be a straight up deal. If I'm Toronto, I'm like, I want some first round picks too. Because if I let this guy go, I'm getting four. If I let him go, I'm getting four first round picks. That is crazy talk, isn't it, Priscilla? I mean, it is surely crazy talk. Yeah, if you guys notice Eddie, I like Eddie, my old stinky gloves. It did not kill my grass. The gloves are no longer allowed in the studio. I used to have my gloves on the thing here. No longer allowed in the studio. They stink too much. Gloves got banned from the studio. We are under an hour away from the NHL draft. There has been much progress in talks between William Karlsson's camp and the Golden Knights. barring a last-minute hiccup. Pierre LeBrun thinks he'll see a long-term deal wrapped up in the next week or two for the top line forward. William Karlsson kind of gambled on himself and lost a little bit. He had a really good year. He's going to get a nice little contract, but he didn't have the year he had last year. You know, you sign those one-year bridge deals, believing in yourself, and then you fall short. It's really unfortunate. The other thing that's kind of not putting a wrench in things, but making things interesting, making things spicy. Alex Marullo, a billionaire, was approved to purchase the majority share of the Arizona Coyotes this past Wednesday with the Board of Governors. He's 55 years old. He's a billionaire. Andrew Barway, who they thought was going to be the answer in Arizona, is not. Gary Bettman said he is committed to trying to get a new arena in the right location in Phoenix. Why the Coyotes ever moved to Glendale is way beyond me. Why anybody thought that was going to be a good idea is way beyond me. Downtown Phoenix is where this team needs to be. They need to be rebranded as the Phoenix Coyotes. I would even go back and bring back the old logo and the jerseys. They are fan favorites. The Arizona Coyotes are dead. The Phoenix Coyotes are real. Is Alex Marullo legit? Everybody told me that Andrew Barway is legit. Everybody told me that Andrew Barway had all the money in the world. And he came in and just barely kept his franchise afloat. He didn't invest any money. He didn't allow them to spend to the cap. Not to say that that guarantees you anything, but at least shows a willingness from management. I will say this. They could have lost Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and they didn't. Kudos to them for that. I mean, when you look at what a fire sale the Carolina Hurricanes are about to be, that could have been the Arizona Coyotes, and it wasn't. And also, Antti Raanta could have left, and they wound up ponying up the money for him. So, you know, I can criticize Andrew all we want, but they're paying those guys. They took on the Marian Hossa contract to get some assets, so they are paying up. But, you know, I'm talking about serious investment. And that's what this team needs. And they need a guy who's not only going to invest in the players on the ice, but the resources that it takes to get what this team needs off the ice. And that is an arena in downtown Phoenix. The fourth period, David Pagnotta reporting that noise surrounding Tyson Barrie is getting significantly louder. Wouldn't it be a surprise if the Avs reach the finish line within the hour, but we shall see. Things are heating up. Things are heating up, baby. Getting excited. Final questions. Let's throw it around the room. Anything you want to know, ask now or forever hold your peace. We will not talk again before the NHL draft, which is about an hour away. The other interesting tidbit I wanted to just touch on is Roberto Luongo is expected to announce his plans for next season. He talked about this earlier in the week. Florida General Manager Dale Tallon said, "It's totally up to Roberto. We've talked a couple of times. The decision is solely up to him. Whatever is best for him and his family, we're going to go along with whatever he decides he wants to do." Best case scenario for the Florida Panther fans in this situation, I mean, you have the potential to get Sergei Bobrovsky. Everybody feels like that is a predetermined conclusion, and maybe it is. I'm not saying it's not, but everybody seems to be pointing in that direction. You have a chance to get Artemi Panarin and add to that already pretty nice-looking offense. They're a young team. They'll have a huge window of opportunity. If I'm Roberto Luongo, I don't need any money, right? Unless he really made some bad investments. You don't need any money if you're Roberto Luongo. I'm going back to the Florida Panthers and I'm saying, look, I want to be here. I want to be the backup. I'll take whatever to make that work. I will sit back in my role, not only on the ice, but in the locker room. I'll know my role. I'll know my place. I want to be here for Sergei Bobrovsky. To me, if you get Bobrovsky and you get Roberto Luongo, even at his age, for 15 to 20 games a year, and everything he brings off the ice, it's a huge win. Huge win. I'm a big fan of Roberto Luongo, and I would love to see him come back for sure. Would love to see him come back. And I think coming back in a backup manner is the way to go. Why would they even want to trade Tyson Barry? Again, going back to my point about Justin Falk, you're going to see a lot of guys who are pending free agents, restricted or otherwise, with no time left on their deals or a year left on their deal, start to get some serious consideration in the trade market. Why? Because, again, you have an asset that's about to expire within hours, within an hour, and that is your draft pick. Those assets expire. That is it. You're done. You can't make that move anymore. If I'm trying to trade for Tyson Barry and I'm offering up my first round draft pick and I lose that ability to put that piece into the deal, then I may not make another deal. So that really starts to put a lot of pressure on. And Tyson Barry, he's got $5.5 million left on this season. They have a lot to think about moving forward, right? Sam Girard's an RFA next year. Who else? Nikita Zadorov needs a deal this year. He's an RFA. They got a lot of RFAs. Mikko Rantanen's an RFA. That's going to be a big raise. A lot of things to think about if you're the Colorado Avalanche. So to answer your question, Endless, and it's a good one, sorry, Anson, why would you trade Tyson Barry? Because you know a year from now you're not going to be able to sign him. Same reason why Justin Falk might get traded. And I said this on a previous hockey talk show. It really is amazing how many times I'm right. Have you noticed that? It's kind of out of control how right we've been about a lot of things. Wrong about a couple things, but right about a lot of things. Free agents that are a year out because of the RFAs this year, because of the salary cap uncertainty moving forward, because of where the league is really going, those guys can go sooner than later. And I'm out. Draft. 8 o'clock tonight. Enjoy it. We'll be live tweeting on our Facebook page. So make sure you're following us on the Facebooks at Hockey Talk Show on Facebook. We're there on Twitter and Instagram as well. It's all at Hockey Talk Show. You can get the link at hockeytalkshow.com. We'll just be texting some stuff out. But if any big trades go down, we'll be talking about it. We'll have discussions going. So make sure you're following on the Facebook page at Hockey Talk Show. Again, consider supporting the Hockey Talk Show for 99 cents a month. Links are in the descriptions above or below, wherever the hell that is. Good luck to your team tonight. Enjoy the draft. Maybe we'll see you after rounds 2 through 7. Maybe we'll see you during rounds 2 through 7. You never know. That's why you got to be subscribed and follow us on Facebook and YouTube. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you guys for the comments. I really mean that. Thank you. And if you can consider doing the support for 99 cents a month, I would really, really appreciate it. Enjoy the draft, everybody. Have a good night.